Okay, I want to talk today a little bit about Leila Seder. I guess the title of today's shiur could be kind of Shulchan Aruch Shabbos Tafet Magadrach Samotzi Nazimor Shulchan Aruch Shabbos Baruch Halal V'Nirtzeh. So, see how far we get along. It would be impossible to go through everything, even if we had much longer than the amount of time that we have. But a number of inyanim that concern both the halachas and minhagim of Leila Seder. So we'll start off with the Simani Leila Seder. There are some places, a lot of what we're going to discuss tonight has to do with minhagim. Some of them are strict halachas, and a lot of it has to do with minhagim. There are some places that have a minhag that the Seder begins, and just mentioning because we do that in my family, I don't know why, because that's what we did in my friend's house. We start the Seder by going through these things like casting, hanging with the Simson of Kad, and Shurachat. And part of it is done, the Oreb has been also said that people should get excited and interested in what's going on. There'll be a number of different things you do throughout the night of the Seder that are unusual. So I want to say that there's a whole big program coming up tonight. So we sing Kadesh Shurachat. And then there are those who also, as you go along, each time you get to something, you say Kadesh, when you get to Urachat, you go Urachat, etc. What? Okay. So, we'll do that. Kadesh. You're not allowed to say Kiddush before Tzitzis HaKochavim. There's no such thing, really. There are all sorts of shadows about what to do in hospitals and otherwise, but in general, there's no such thing as making an early Pesach. Even though the spots have changed here, they've changed in the States, but Kiddush cannot be said before Tzitzis HaKochavim for one of two reasons. The Chazal learned out, based on the Pasuk, V'ochlo Sabasa B'Laila Hazeh, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten at night. It has to be eaten at night. If the Korban Pesach has to be eaten at night, so too the other mitzvah Hayom should also take place at night. And therefore, the mitzvah Dal Mikosos also has to take place at night, and the first of the Dal Mikosos is Kiddush, and therefore Kiddush has to take place at night. An additional reason might be because Kiddush itself, the recitation of Kiddush, is part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We mentioned in Kiddush exactly Yetzias Mitzrayim, and since Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to take place, Shashesh Matzu Marim Nachum Lefanecha, and Matzos have to be eaten together with the Pesach, so everything should take place after nightfall, after Tzeit HaKochavim. At the opposite end of the spectrum, the Gemara says that one should not delay beginning the Seder unnecessarily, because the focus of the Seder is supposed to be for the younger generation, and the younger generation tends to get tired as the evening goes along, as well as the older generation, but certainly the younger generation. And therefore, on the one hand, one cannot begin before Tzeit HaKochavim. On the other hand, one should not delay the Seder until afterwards, unnecessarily. Now, this year, the Seder is on Motzei Shabbos, and therefore, some of the preparations which normally would take place on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, like setting your table, you can normally set an Erev Pesach in the afternoon, getting things ready, you normally do. There's certain things that can't be done until after Tzeit HaKochavim, but whatever is possible to be done ahead of time should be done, and whatever is not necessary, it shouldn't take place. And if, let's say, for some reason, if the women aren't in shul and they're at home and the men are in shul and it's already safe and it's time to do things, and as much of the preparations that can be done should be taken into account. I remember the Rav of the shul wasn't there, it was last year, 2 years ago, and Leila Seder, they were going to speak before Myers. I said to him, I don't care when I speak, just tell me exactly what time I have to finish. Because that's one of the dinim. I don't think that a person, if the time to daven arrives, you shouldn't spend an extra 10, 15 minutes in the drasha, because you should really finish. He says, I have to finish by this time, so that's, I don't think it stops in 10, but that's when you should finish. There are two different minhagim regarding how Kiddush is done on Leila Seder. In some homes, what is done in most homes during the year, and that is one person makes Kiddush on behalf of everybody. So that's one option. The other issue, the other possibility is that unusual is that each and every person says Kiddush. In some homes they do it one after another, but that takes a long time depending on how many people, and in some places it's done in unison. And if you've ever seen that done, that everybody, in my family also we do that, everybody says Kiddush together. Why does everybody say Kiddush together all of a sudden? We don't do it the rest of the year. So the reason one person should do it for everybody is based on the concept of Barov on Hadrat Melech. the more that people do something as one unit, the more hidur. On the other hand, since, as we mentioned a couple of moments ago, that kiddush itself, the recitation, is part of Sibur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, and there is a certain hidur in everyone reciting individually Sibur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. We'll see later. Maybe that technically one person can recite the Haggadah for everybody. I think in most families, everyone recites the Haggadah together. Part of Sibur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim is kiddush, and therefore in some homes, they have the custom of everyone reciting kiddush in unison. Men, women, children, anybody who can. But these are the two different minhagim. One of the things that you have to keep in mind, and I don't know if Rabbi Mill talked about it on Monday night, is that because the Seder is on Motzei Shabbos, you have this special combination of Kiddush combined with Havdalah. Havdalah because it's Motzei Shabbos, and Kiddush because it's Yal Yosef. I don't know if Rabbi Mill talked about it. Okay, so very briefly, the Gemara calls, those of you who ever learned anything of Psach and Yach Nahar, Rashi Tevas, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, that you start off with the bracha of Boreh Tiagafen, followed by the Kiddush of Mekadosh Yisrael Hazmanin. That's the standard for Leil HaSeder. Then, before you say Shechiyonu, which is normally said in Kiddush, you do Ner, you have to say Boreh Marei HaEsh, and then you do an unusual Havdalah, because the Havdalah is not Havdalah of Hamabil Ben Kodesh L'chol, but rather Havdalah of Hamabil Ben Kodesh L'kodesh. And then, at the very end, you say Zman, the Brach of Shachiyon, Kiman of Yigiyon, Zman Azeh. So that combination is known as Yach Nahad. There are a number of different issues which come up. First of all, what do you do with the Ner? And because if you're going to light your standard Havdalah candle because you need it, that may be one thing, because you can transfer fire from fire for the needs of the Yom Tov. You can't blow it out, and which means you're going to have your Havdalah candle burning for quite a while. So I think most people don't light the Havdalah candle, but I think most people tend to use the candles that were lit. So I'd like to say, Yom Tov, those are the ones that people tend to use for Havdalah. There are, again, two different synagogues here. Some take two candles, because lechatchila, no, not lechatchila, mitzvah min hamufchar, that one has a two-wick candle for Havdalah, so people take the two single candles from the Yom Tov candles and put them together at like a bit of an angle so that you get a double, you get 2 weeks together so you have the larger flame. So some people do that, the candle's on, looks on Yom Tov, and then they put it back in the candle where in the light. Some suggest not doing that out of concern that sometimes when you do it, if you're not very careful, one wick can become extinguished. The wax could start dripping on a candle, etc. Since the idea of having a two-wick candle is only a mitzvah min hamufkar, it is not necessary. Therefore, those who have a custom that they sometimes they put the candles very close to each other, or they do it on a single candle, but there are, again, differences in hugging what to do with the bracha borei marei ha'esh. Now, women have a very special issue over here in terms of Havdalah. Normally, we say that women can certainly recite Kiddush, but there's a question about women reciting Havdalah. I'm not going to get into a whole big discussion that would take quite a bit of time, because there are long Shulchan Aruch that says the minhag is women don't say Havdalah on the regular Motzei Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah from Magen Avraham says women can't say Havdalah. In general, the women listen from them, but they can't say Havdalah. If you're in a family where one person is saying the Yach Nahas for everybody, so nobody has a problem. Okay? The man says that everybody, the women list of women and the rest of the men hear it. If you have a custom that every single person is going to be saying it, so what do you do with Havdalah? So there are quite a number of folks who will say it's not a problem for the women to recite. We pass, and it's really not a problem for the women to recite Havdalah. And therefore, a woman, if your custom is that everybody says it, so the women can also say the Yayin Kiddush Ner, well, they can say the Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah. There is additional question about women reciting the Bracha of Borei Marei HaEsh, whether that's permissible or not. Shmir Shabbos Gilgosa is more machmir. He says women should avoid saying the Bracha of Borei Marei HaEsh just to hear that from a man. Moshe Feinstein held that women could say the Bracha of Borei Marei HaEsh. So they don't have to necessarily hear it from men. They can say it on their own. The final thing is, regarding Zman, if a woman already said Shechiyanu when she lit candles, which is a very common custom. She cannot repeat Shachiyam a second time by Atnahat. Don't say one Shachiyam in the night. So if she said Shachiyanu, she personally lit candles and said Shachiyanu, she cannot say Shachiyanu again at the Atnahat, the Leila Seder. If she didn't say Shachiyanu, because she didn't light candles, so she doesn't say Shachiyanu, can't light candles, of course she can say it, she should say it later on. Okay, question. The Atnahat. Yes?
If you're a volunteer, you send
if he says Yatnahaz, and then everyone,
and then afterwards all together we use it, and the rest of the people have to do it.
So that's the question, what do women do? It's the women. The question is, if women don't want to be yotze with the balabayas, because there are two options, right? There's one person, the balabayas says it out loud.
But should they be
okay with
them or should they be
okay now? So, that depends. You know, in some homes, that's all that stuff. The Baal HaBayit says that everyone would be okay with them and go back. End of discussion. In a family which has the custom that women, that every single person says it on their own, so on a normal Leila Seder, when all it is Yayin Kiddush Uzman, the only question you have is the Bracha of Shachiyam, whether you said it or not. But tonight, or not tonight, on that night of Seder, it's going to be a problem with the Abdullah. So how do you handle the Abdullah in the Borei Marei Ha'ish? Yesh panim lakan and panim lakan, there are enough shitos to be summit. There's some who say, you know, every other year I say it on my own. It's tonight, this and why, this night, every because it's Masai Shabbat. So tonight I'm just going to listen to Abdullah from the Baal HaBayit. And there are enough shitos who say differently now, you can say Abdullah on your own. So, yesh, we smoke gamal kan to gamal zed. There's enough poskim on either side of the issue that we would like to do. Yes.
If a woman has to say I'm not
very good,
before she...
No, she doesn't say I'm not very good. She does not say I'm a fei shabbos. I'm not doing kodesh l'chol. She wants to do malacha. If it's after sefer kochavim, she says I'm not doing kodesh l'kodesh. Keep that in mind. In other words, if the husbands are in shul, the men are in shul, and you're on Motzei Shabbos, and you want to start doing Yom Tov preparation, permissible Yom Tov preparations, after Seita Kochavim, Saturday night, you say five words. Baruch HaMavil Bein Kodesh LeKodesh. Not Bein Kodesh LeChol. But the other, I don't remember. We should stop. If you know, I don't know what to say it again.
So if she's saying that anyway, where it's like shackles, should she just say, and she would be saying
Abdallah
later, because
anyone
can say that
she'd say Abdallah
earlier.
Right, read Abdallah? No.
No,
she should
just say Abdallah
because she's going to have an
appointment
to put it. Right, and also the Shafiyah is better, the practical situation, such as my candidate, that's what you should do. In other words, there are Polskim who don't like it, but the vast, vast majority of women in the world say Shafiyano and candle lighting, and definitely it's a long-standing minhag yisrael. People stop complaining about too much. Okay, now, regarding Kiddush, as opposed to every other Kiddush during the year, when one person says Kiddush, one person drinks, and gamarnu, I'm not mechuyev to drink from the coast of Kiddush, but on Leila Seder, Kiddush is one of the dalat kosos. And since it's one of the dalat kosos, everyone is chayav in their own dalat kosos, which means everyone has to have their own kosos. Maybe normally on a Friday night, somebody makes kiddush, on Yom night, one person makes kiddush, and one of the kosos, everyone gets a little bit. It doesn't work. Here, every person has to have their kosos. And including women, and even though it's a mitzvah sase shaz man grama, you know you're both on A, the women are obligated in the mitzvah of dalat kosos. By the way, since it's a mitzvah dalat kosos, and everyone has to have their own kosos, if the Baal HaBayit is making kiddush, and he's the only person saying kiddush on Friday on Leila Seder, everyone should be holding a full kosos in their hand. It's not that after it's before. Everyone should hold their own kosos, because that kosos has to become the kosher bracha. So if you're not saying your own kiddush, you're just listening to the Baal HaBayit, then everyone has to have a kosher ready for it in their hand. How big does the cult have to be? The answer is very simple. The cult has to hold the revius. That's the simple answer. What's the complicated question? What's the revius? That already the shitos that range the gamut from, let's put it this way, it has to hold minimally 2.9 ounces, or 86 cubic centimeters, a milliliter, that's the smallest shita permissible. So it has to hold at least that amount. And you have to be careful. Sometimes people get these nice, beautiful, sterling silver bechers for your bat mitzvah when you were 4 years old or who knows what, and they just don't hold 3 ounces. So you have to make sure they hold at least 2.9 ounces. But you know, different shitos, they had on as high as mishnas with 5 ounces. They're different things. Now, if you want to be machmir and hold, have a bigger becher, that's not a problem, except. The except is that the amount that you have to drink on the night of the Seder is more than the amount that you have to drink in a normal kiddush. The amount that you have to drink on Hatchila, Shulchan Aruch said you have to drink kulo o rubo. Implication being, really, 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 the best thing is to drink the whole kos. But if not the whole kos, you should drink at least majority of the kos. If you have a larger kos, then there's more that you need to drink. So just keep that in mind. I'm not here to tell you to use the minimum size kos. I'm just saying that if before you decide, hey, the kos of Eliyahu was going to affect the whole 15 ounces, that looks cool, I think I'll use such a big kos. You have to realize, you have to drink lechatchila, the best is to drink the whole kos. If not that, at least to drink the majority of the kos. So that's something that you keep in mind. There is a shita which we don't pass in lechatchila, only b'shas adchak, is that a person can drink kamale lugmav, which would be about an ounce and a half. But really, really should drink, if not the whole kos, at least the majority of the kos. It is generally preferable to use red wine as opposed to white wine. If the white wine is so much better than the red wine, you can use the white wine, but there's so many red wines that are available that are probably just as good as white wine that you should probably go for the red wine. The big question, of course, is what's the story with grape juice? And Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion, well known, that he held that lechatchila one must have wine, and grape juice is only a b'dieved, somebody who can't drink wine. However, there were other poskim who said that they didn't see that there was a problem using grape juice. They said that Shabina Rav used grape juice, the Chazon Ish used grape juice. I heard two things. I heard the Chazon Ish used grape juice, and then I heard the Chazon Ish used grape juice because he had a medical problem, and their wine was a problem. But if he didn't have a medical problem, he would have used wine. I don't know. It was one Shachira, the Rav Soloveitchik also felt he didn't think that there was a problem using grape juice. So there's definitely a preference to using wine, because that goes to the Chol HaDeos. But if a person has a problem using wine, so then yes, I'm allowed to use grape juice. Yeah.
Is grape juice okay?
Is what?
Sparkling
grape juice. As long as the part of your grape juice, like, is it acidic in the water? I don't think it's a problem. You have to be very, very careful before you dilute wines with water. Even though the Gemara talks about that it was standard practice to dilute wines with water, our wines are so diluted and so not thick syrup that they once were, that adding any significant amount of water is problematic. I know Shimon Eider in a Sefer allows, is very lenient in terms of allowing dilution of wine in certain areas, but I saw other poskim who say that you can't dilute with any significant amount of water with none of them. So you want to dilute grape juice, dilute with grape juice. Grape juice, you can have the whole grape juice, you can certainly dilute. They also have these wines that are called Yayin Kal, and that has a very low alcoholic content. So for some people, that's the solution.
Is it better to have grape juice not to have wine? Which one's next? Like, is it
still better
to try and have wine
somewhere,
or then you
want to have grape juice instead? Depends who you ask. Zalpaskin said there was no problem with grape juice. We'd certainly try to have grape juice, we'd have no white wine. Maybe you should also have red, not white. Zalpaskin will, like, if you ask for Moshe Feinstein, he'd probably say you better have white wine than grape juice.
What do you do if you don't have the whole,
you don't drink the whole cup of wine, you only had rogue,
and you have wine underneath that wine that's left in the cup to fill up the
second cup. Yeah. Because it costs problems, doesn't it? Yeah. So, see, if you had under wine, it's not a cost problem. even though we generally pour out and we pour back in, but because then you can just add some, getting the wine is not, makes it non-functional.
Did you drink it all in one sip, or did you drink it all in one
finish? So you have to drink the wine, the stage the atrovius, which is the amount of time it normally takes to drink that amount of wine. In other words, you can't be extra slow, but you don't have to drink like a glutton or like you're famished. So what the post can talk about, let me just have a chuckle on this, is that you can drink with a number of swallows. If you pay attention, I'll try to... number of swallows. That was not so good. And then removing the cup at least just one time from your mouth so they can get a few more swallows. But you don't have to sit there going, oh, sorry. Not to be a glutton. There's no need to be a glutton or to act like a glutton. There's no need to be a glutton. If you drink in the normal amount of time that it takes to drink a beer. So that's sufficient. It's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch quotes a custom that the Baal Bais does not pour one moment. The Baal Bais does not pour the wine for himself. To act their cheros. So instead, what happens is that somebody should pour for him. The Aruch HaShulchan writes very interestingly. You guys would appreciate this very much. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that we're not nisar b'zeh. We're not careful about this. The Baal Bais pours for himself. Ki nira kiramut rucha. It looks like haughtiness. Mitzavot li'ishto shetimzo. For him to command his wife to pour the wine for him. Ve'ein ba'abal adif mimena. The husband isn't better than her. Then convey the most excellent. He's very close to himself. But nevertheless, there is such a custom. One thing I wasn't sure about, I was trying to check into, that the Shulchan Aruch talks about that the minhag is that the Baal Bais must pour for himself. He doesn't seem to say that the minhag is that no one pours for themselves. So I saw a quote that some achronim say the minhag is no one pours for himself, but I had a little bit of a problem with that. If the Baal Bais doesn't pour for himself and someone pours for him, so he looks like Ben Chori. But if the wife pours for the husband, the husband pours for the wife, and the sister pours for the brother, and the brother pours for the sister, and the uncle for the aunt, and the aunt for the... So who looks like he's a Ben Chorin? Everybody looks like he's a Masharit. Right? Everybody's acting both as a Ben Chorin and as a servant. If everybody's pouring for everybody else. So I don't see how that gives you a sense of, you know, oh, look, I'm a Ben Chorin. Pour for me, I have to pour for 20 people. So how does that make me a Ben Chorin? So I don't know, I'm not sure if the minhag is only that the Baal Bais doesn't pour for himself, or that everybody, but I'm not telling you that if he's in the family, no one pours. So fine. I mean, Rosh Hashanah says we're not makfid about this halacha anyway. It's certainly not something to raise an issue about. It's more of a theoretical question. How is it that if everybody's pouring for everybody else, everybody looks like a Ben Chorin? To me, it looks like everybody looks like a servant. So, I don't know. Say that. The halacha is that that one needs to drink without the kosos to have seba. Without the kosos you have to drink that seba. And that is because we want to show derecheros, and we do different things. Now, how do you do a seba? Seba is done not by leaning your head like this. I know those of you who are on your iPods won't be able to see what I'm doing right now. It's not like leaning the head like this, but that's not a seba. Right? And going, hanging off in mid-air is not derecheros. So if you have an armchair, so that's very good. You just, generally people put a pillow or something over here and you lean to the left against the armchair and you can relax. Okay. You do it that way. And the halacha is you lean to the left. To the left. Not leaning backwards. Lean to the left. If you don't have an armchair, it's a problem. So if somebody wants shudder, he says, I will stop the problem for you. He says, what do you do if you don't have an armchair? Again, you guys won't see this. So just go like this. So if you go like this, you can lean to the left, you have something supporting you, you're not falling off into midair, and you can drink the wine, so without a cost, it's that way while you're leaning to the left. If you have a very high back chair, it's not so comfortable, exactly what I'm doing. So it doesn't always work. But that's the story. Whether or not women do have seiba, the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch that the minhag is that women aren't required to do a seiba, either because it's saying dak of a kaf, or because for some reason the women pass them according to the opinion that there's no need for a seiba, there's manazah. Nevertheless, In many homes, but I don't think necessarily in all, we would do Duat Seva. So if in your homes only the men do a Seva, that's what the Rambam writes. And if in your homes the women also do that Seva, then you're as much of a feminist as the Chassam Sof is right, wife who also did her Seva. So it's not an issue of feminist, not feminist, whatever the custom is, again, many times, different customs. Sometimes women do, sometimes women don't. Halacha l'maaseh we pass in that if you didn't do a seva, even the men didn't do a seva for any of the kosos, you're not chozer, you don't go back and drink, because we don't accept the second kos. The second kos is the only kos that you did a seva without, if you drank without a seva, you should re-drink with a seva. What? If you need to, yes. No. You say brach again. Okay, kadesh. Orchas. What's the story with Orchas? So it's very strange. Right? We wash our hands and we don't say a bracha. What's this based on? This is really not a unique, necessarily unique Pesach halacha. But there's a general rule. The Gemara talks with Kol Shetibula v'mashke Tzach Mitzilas Tadayim. Because of certain dinim regarding the Tumah V'Tahara, any time I eat food that is moist, I require Mitzilas Tadayim. Moist food halachically can contact or can contract tula more easily than dry food, and since I'm about to eat karpas, which is moist, because I'm going to dip it in the salt water, therefore I have to do nefilas tadayim. The truth is that this halacha exists all year long. Right now, I'm not going to get into the halachas, so you have to be noig all year long. Some people say that it's not really noig all year long now, because we're not makpid on tula v'tahara, but this is theoretical that exists all year long. But on Leila Seder, even if we're not makpid the whole year, on Leila Seder we're makpid. But, of course, there's a question whether there's an absolute clear of this manazer or not. Therefore, we wash, but we don't say a bracha. But the reason we're doing it is because we're going to be eating a moist food. In most homes, that's the more widespread minhag is that everyone washes, because we hold it really is sure. And it's not an itiklas mayim achronim thing. It's not enough to just put a few drops on your fingertips. You should really wash the hands. That you do. So some people get up to go to the sink, sometimes people bring around the bowl or whatever it might be. So you do have the washing, that's Orchas, and you don't recite a bracha. One can be, if you do a revius at once, you can be make it with a revius at once. Otherwise, 2 times in each year. Yes.
And if only the
Balabaya
does it.
If only the Balabaya does it. So that custom is also quoted. That is based on the idea that really we're no way not to do this all year long. Because we all think with various cheetahs that it doesn't apply when we're not makted on Tumah V'Tahara. We're only doing it at the night of the Seder in order that the kid should see something different than unusual. So it's enough, if one person does it, that the kids will see something different than unusual. And I actually, the Didiha Ha'uvda, that I saw that Chazal were as usual, absolutely correct. It was many, many years ago. My niece must have been, she must have been about 3 years old or something, 4 years old, I don't remember. She was very young. And my father washed first, Orchas. And she's looking at my father, and then she said, Saba, you didn't say a bracha. So you see that the Tinokos actually see that if you wash and you don't say a bracha, Sai doesn't sit. You do some things, and the Tinokos, somebody who's observant and knows, you know, notices something out of unusual, they'll see that it's a special thing. There shouldn't be a degree of Hesachadah. In other words, if we're washing, because like we wash for everything else, so you shouldn't be mitzir das. Okay, probably we're not as makbid as we are with other things, but you shouldn't get sidetracked with other things. Karpas. So again, we do this karpas as a shiner, as something unusual, and it's also a bit of derecheros. There's also some say, so we shouldn't be so hungry during magid, so I don't eat the karpas. That depends on how much you eat. That could be, depending on what it is. So that's why you eat a lot of it, if you're going the other way. Karpas has to be a vegetable. Some are makpid to have a green vegetable of either parsley or celery. But the truth is, any vegetable is allowed. From what I can gather, it seems to have been very, very common in Eastern Europe, in Russia, to use potato. Probably because that's what they had. And those of you who are from New Jersey, you know that Rabbi Teitelbaum of Lubracha, the other Rabbi Teitelbaum, bananas, because he wanted a banana, because there was a whole big controversy. He wanted to prove to people, show people, not prove it, but show people, that the Bracha bananas bore Pia Dama, and not like people mistakenly thought bore Pia Eight. So he used to use bananas for kappa, because everybody knows that for kappa you need a vegetable, and if Rabbi Teitelbaum is using a banana, that must mean that it's a vegetable. So he used to use bananas. But people use celery, parsley, potatoes, radishes, onions I've seen, I don't know, I mean not that I've seen, carrots. Raw onion, that's the question. Raw onion might be a problem. Maybe a fried onion, maybe. I don't know. But, oh, okay. Now, the custom is that everybody eats the karpas. How much do they have to eat? There are two opposite opposing views. There is one view that says as follows. There is no, because we're only doing the karpas to make something unusual, there's no chiyuv achila of karpas per se, so you don't have to eat a kezayis. You could eat a kezayis, in theory you could eat a kezayis, or you can eat less than a kezayis. Now, if you were to eat a kezayis, there's a question that arises in the Hilchos Brachos, is the karpas going to be included in the Birkat HaMazon that you're going to recite at the end of the meal? Is that going to be, will that Bracha Achrona, Birkat HaMazon, work for the Bracha Achrona on karpas? Or do I say no, the karpas is being eaten before Hamotzi. Since it's being eaten before Hamotzi, and it's not being eaten as a real appetizer, therefore the Birkat HaMazon will not include the karpas. And therefore the karpas requires its own separate bar in the fascia. Since there is this theoretical question whether the Birkat HaMazon covers the karpas or doesn't cover the karpas, in order to avoid the questionable situation, what do? I just eat less than the kezayit. That's the psak halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, you should eat less than the kezayit to avoid that problem. On the other hand, there were a number of achronim who felt that there really is a chiyuv achilas karpas. Even though there's no bracha of Hashem Hashem to some tivado achilas karpas, but there still is a mitzvah of achilas karpas, and therefore you should ask to eat a kezayit. And that was the minhag agrod, that's the minhag in brisk, supposedly, they say the chazanish, also you see the kezayit. So therefore, in my family, I pasken like Shulchan Aruch, and all my children pasken like the briskers, and I usually have less than the kezayis, and all my kids have many, many kezayis. Because they just enjoy eating the potatoes, and if you eat a kezayis, we pasken. If you're already doing it, not to say bracha achrona. Not to say bracha achrona. The minhag is to be tovel in salt water, some people use vinegar, but that's not the more common minhag. Because it's not part, it may not be considered part of the Suda. Oh, because it might be considered part of the Suda. Well, for instance, the Bracha HaMazon has to include the Bracha Achrona on the Kiddush Kaf. If I drank Revi'ah, so I'm trying to say Bracha Achrona. How come I don't say Ela Gethin or Pir Gethin? Because we all the Bracha HaMazon will cover. What? I mean, on Friday night, you say Bracha Achrona right after Kiddush.
I thought that I had a wine.
So, because Kiddush is B'makom Suda, it's considered to be part of the Suda. So some say anything in Leila Seder is also considered to be part of the Suda. Yeah?
Some for those who
say they do not say Bracha Achrona at the end of the day. Because if we're forced to pass in that questionable situation, we pass in that it's the Birkat HaMazon cover.
That
doesn't seem important. Yeah.
Because
the date of the phone conference is
like,
I don't know if
you
can say
the
cost.
Like, could you not
have
to say the cost?
Shir Chazanish, I think he said, I don't know, I don't remember why. I think I remember Shir Chazanish used to drink the full coast, the first and the fourth, and only the road coast in the middle two.
Do you ever talk about
that,
like, when you have a situation that you send a little thing for Bakashin
and
Tzvikol,
it's not
Bakashin
and Tzvikol,
you're
going to
get out of something.
Flip. What do you think, for Bakashin and Tzvikol? Bakashin and Tzvikol would be, this would be a shadow of Shashim Brachul Gatala. It could be a Shashim Brachul Gatala. you can do the bracha sheni tzricha because right now I don't need to say it. No, but we're not back in this way. First comes to Shabbat, you still need to follow. What? I don't have to think about it. No, do not. Do not. There is a bit of a question whether, like, here is the question whether the carpet requires a bracha achrona. There's also a bit of a question whether when I get to eat morar after motzi matza, whether I have to recite a boruch pri adama on the morar that I'm eating. Whether that's included in the motzi, which includes most normal meal food. But the question is the morar meal food. Since there's a bit of a question whether I should say boruch pri adama when I eat morar, to solve that problem, they always tell you when you're making a bar piyazam on the karpas, what you do is have in mind the maror. And then, even if you didn't have in mind the maror, you do not say a separate bar piyazam on the maror. This is just to cover those opinions. Okay. Kadesh Yuchas Karpas Yachas. We break the matzah. Why do we have a broken matzah? We have a broken matzah because the Torah calls matzah lechem oni, and my dakar shall oni b'prusa. Like a poor man's bread, a poor person doesn't get to buy whole loaf. He only gets partial loaf. So we have a broken matzah, and that's the lechem oni. Some of the questions is, well, if we need a broken matzah, why don't we start off with a whole matzah? Just start off with a broken matzah. You know, sometimes when you buy the box of shmur matzah, you get all these broken pieces, you know, so start off with a broken piece. Why do we need a whole piece? So, something to remind us to eat the afikomen, because we want to put half we leave and half we put aside for the afikomen. It's to get the kids very much involved. We do again, we're doing strange things, whatever it is. Anyway, break the matzah there. The custom is between the two halves, which are never precisely the same, that the larger half we put aside for the afikomen, and the smaller half we keep on the seder plate. The Gemara in Sochem and Afkostad relates that Chotzin Amasot Belele Ksochem, that on Leil Pesach one grabs, well, the different opinions what it means. But the Rambam learned that you would grab them, he said you grab matzah one from another. That the kids should be awake, that if I take the matzah, you would grab it from me, someone grabs from you, someone, like, I don't know what kind of game, you play a game with the matzah, you grab the matzah. That seems to be the source of stealing the matzah, and hiding the matzah. The truth is that for little kids, that is probably the most exciting part of the Seder, in many ways. The kids very much get involved in the matzah and they stay awake and the grandfather's, you know, pretending to hide it and the kids is pretending to steal and the grandfather, where is it, you know? Families have all sorts of rules where you can keep it, where you can't keep it, where you can hide it, you know what it is. And then the kids will look at it and puts it away and then falls asleep and they don't know where the matzah is and they can't find it and somebody puts it under the seat of the couch and somebody comes in the couch and then you have, you have matzah parcel at the end so you have to come and all the things that everybody does. But there is a minute you tell about this. It's not bad. People ask, you're teaching your kids to steal, so they say it's about vices and matzahs. If I don't mind if you steal, so then it's no, yeah, because in general, by the way, the halacha of Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to steal derech tzchok. I'm not allowed to pull a prank on you and steal from you. That's still lost. Unless I don't mind. So I don't mind. So we assume that the balabais, because he wants the kids to be involved, doesn't mind the people that steal. Then you have rules about like, one kid stealing from another kid and it's a blue rivalry and all else, I don't know. That you have to make up your rules ahead of time. They claim that the Chaim and Brisk did not like the idea of stealing because he said that the afikomen was connected to carbon Pesach and the carbon is meat shmira and it's possible to have hadad. You can't leave a carbon unattended, so it has to be sealed and leave it unattended. All right, you can light them up. But that's most of that's what's done. That's the apple. Okay, Magid. Magid is teach the element, the Leila Seder. It's the kind of the mitzvah, all right, to be got some zimcha v'yom ha'hu. Again, women are also chayiv in the mitzvah of Magid, either because it's connected to matzah or because after you know you're both selenate. In practical terms, you have to be, that means a lot of sechel when it comes to matzah. And you have to know your audience. What do I mean by that? You may have this great vort on matzah and chametz and this. You heard that hakira from Reb Chaim. You heard a shiur from Rav Nis. You heard something over there. And you want to give us this 25-minute shiur in the middle of Maggid about this all this wonderful lamdus etc. Very, very nice. Chances are your audience isn't interested. The lechatchila, the Maggid has to center on the children. Right? The younger the children, the more Maggid has to center around them. That doesn't mean that everything that's said at the table has to be exclusively only at a level that a four-year-old can understand. But keep in mind your audience, the four-year-old, the 10-year-old, your parents who may not appreciate what they have to say. I saw one summer that the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach at the Maggid, you suggest a very simple explanation of what was going on. Very simple. During the meal, he used to talk to her. During the meal, and everybody, they got to Maggid. I don't know how long it took. But he certainly didn't run the competition. How long did Maggid take you? Oh, my niece took an hour and a half. You an hour and a half. We did 2 hours. We did 4 hours. There's no competition. So you have to say if you're going to say over ideas, and you should say over ideas, now listen, some families want to get through Maggid in about 22 seconds. Give us 22 seconds, we'll give you, or 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. What is that? So give us 22 minutes, and that's it from beginning to end. So you don't have to rush. You don't have to rush, and you can add things. But if you're adding things, keep the ideas brief, something that will interest the audience that you're speaking to. And not necessarily things that, you know, you found so, so fascinating. A little story here, and if you can tell stories, they're very nice. You can tell a story for 15 minutes. No one has the patience. Like people are hungry, people are this, and then they're rushing through. There's a lot of singing that's sometimes done with our brother. There are other things that are done. So, but remember, the focus is on the younger generation. Maybe people are somewhat less affiliated who might be at your Seder table. Try to gear whatever it's like towards them.
But can you finish by handling the child?
I think that somebody who comes who's not so affiliated, I think that, you know, there's a big room to get them interested. Again, I'm not saying don't say anything and just rush through. No, you should say things. But think about what you're going to say and how long you're going to speak for. You don't necessarily have to say something in every single paragraph. And again, if you're in a large, it does not have to be such a large family. If they're all the kids and everybody comes with their, you know, from the fifth grade to the teacher, and they have all the kids, and the kid has all the things, so the chutzpah is very good. The chutzpah is tomorrow night. So it's the next night. We'll stay over tomorrow night. The second night, hopefully you forgot about it already. But again, you have something nice to say to take so long, so say during the meal. During the meal or whatever it is, there's also time to say things over. And so that's just something to keep in mind. There are many different menhagim during Maggid that when we uncover the matzos, when we pick up the matzos, when we sometimes put down the matzos and cover the matzos and pick up the cup of wine, when we pour the first, the second coast right before Halach Ma'anya, right before Manishtana, I'm not going to go into it. Many, many things are really dependent on menhagim. In general, though, During Maggid, the matzah should be in front of you, the whole Kahara. Okay, lo amati ala b'shoshi yesh matzah u'morar u'nachim l'fanecha. So there should definitely be matzah and morar out on the table during Maggid. And when that happens, we generally uncover at least a little bit, not all the matzahs, but some of the matzahs, so we don't hide at all. So that the matzah is visible during this time. Again, the pace that's kept, I think in most families, everybody who can says the Haggadah together. Although there are shittos that say one person can say it for everybody, but I think in most families people say it together. There are numerous Haggadah that are out there with various kinds of translations and commentaries, short vartlach, long vartlach, all sorts of different things. People who don't understand should definitely have some sort of Haggadah with a translation or something that they can appreciate and understand. It's important that people understand to a great extent what they're saying. Now, every single last word, I don't know. but they should definitely understand the basic content of what's going on. What? If they don't speak Hebrew, so then you should get them in another with an English translation, a clear one, and you can say, we're saying paragraph so and so. It's especially if they're, if you want to sort of gear certain things to them, in the sense of saying, okay, now we're going to talk about a story about five great sages who spent all night long telling them the story of Mitzrayim. Don't worry, we're not planning to do that. We'll leave before then or whatever it is. You don't say it in any language. But if they want to get, if they can't read Hebrew, they may just want to sight read. You should, I don't know, again, if they're less affiliated, so whatever you can get them to do, you should get them to do. Just one more thing about Magid, and that is Dom Tzvadei. The custom is we go to Dom Tzvadei, King of Arav Devashkin, so we drop out a little bit of wine. So which finger? So some use the second finger, some use the pinky, some use the ring finger, some pour straight from the cup. All these very familiar as their own minhag. What's going on? Where does it come from? What's the idea? It's interesting. So two opposing ideas as to why we pour it out. One is because even though we're celebrating tonight, but our cup is not full. Because the follow is fast, it's not, even when your enemies fall down, you shouldn't be overly joyous. Never Egyptians had to suffer. They deserve it. But it would have been better had they not punished us so severely that they wouldn't have to be punished by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we sort of like take away a little bit of our joy. The other is exactly the opposite. I pour out a few drops of wine, pointing out that, he says, the mako, you should see what the goyim are going to get with lots of mako. The mako are only little drops compared to the punishment that the large love of the goyim are going to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of all the tzaras that they did to us. So that's almost the opposite hashkafic reason of what's going on. You should just make sure that after you pour out the wine that you fill up the cups again. In the Syrian community, at least in Brooklyn, what they used to tell me was, by the time they finish the SMRKos and the Tzach HaDash Bachar, the whole cup is empty. They empty out the whole cup. Because they hold that it's all peranos, etc. And then they collect the oldest, don't ask me why they do this, because I have no idea, but the oldest unmarried girl in the family collects all the wine that's spilled out. No, has to sell it, you have to throw it out, because it's all makos wine. One of them told me, because they had a non-Jewish neighbor, I'll have to tell you, just open it up. Turning around. Close it. I see Amazon dinosaur. Press the red button. Okay. They had a non-Jewish neighbor who they didn't get along with, so they used to dump the Marcus wine in that guy's yard. So he should get the Marcus. So okay, so different customs, yes.
In this case, like for certain things in Mali, like you stay together and for certain things, you do like Baba, I think everyone else is gonna go on Friday.
Sure. For the majority of the text, not necessarily so, but some have a custom to hold it up for Hallel. And also different places, to hold it up for Hisha Amda, to hold it up for Hallel. I could see the truth is that if a person wanted the extra machmir, somebody could hold the coast for the entire state. There is room to say that somebody should hold the cost for the entire state, and I don't think that that's a very common thing at all, but if somebody's doing it, it's not ridiculous.
It makes sense,
that like,
not
the place where
the
man not
have to
come on
here,
but to the Ikrapot, right after the Ishamda.
Yeah,
Ishamda. No, just from
Magdalene.
Doesn't matter. No, you're not deceived. It's just that the matzah should be... The matzah's out on the table. It's revealed. You can't see it because you're at the other end. It's not a problem.
What happens if everyone knows, like, the child that they're going to be asked and will ask
nobody's
going
to
ask? Like, is there
anything
to ask anyway?
No. The fact that the car is taken off the table and they say, why are you taking away the food? We haven't eaten yet. So, no, some think that's why we don't do it, that some people don't have a custom to do it nowadays, because everybody knows that that's just what's going on. So there's no official need to ask why it's being taken off. You want them to take a turn reading. So if they're reading in English, yeah, as long as you understand the language, they probably wouldn't give them the most trusted part to read. The brokers, you should say yourself anyway.
If someone's reading it out loud, it's just for the big words, but okay.
So you can be okay, but I think that people used to say it's better to say a long flight with it, it's not necessary.
When you're in the napkin, you
have to dump it onto a napkin. What do you mean, like dump it onto a napkin?
Yeah,
Why would you want to do it straight onto that? People are supposed to do it drawn onto a plate?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would take it.
No, he's going to mock his wine. No. Well, in the shop, you don't wipe your dirty hands, you don't wipe them on a napkin. What? Because it's wine or because it's Soveya? Yeah, man, I got wine in my hand. I wiped my hands on my napkin. I don't know. Certainly a disposable napkin is not a cloth napkin. Okay. Okay, that's my good rakha. Wash your hands from the field of Sudan. That's it. Must be matzah. Roughly, you do it every day, or almost every day. Every day, you have to wash your hands. You feel the same. There's not much to... nothing unusual over here. We make two separate brachas. We make a brachas on Anin, a moti lachim in Aris, and then we make a brachas on mitzvah. And we'll have to Hashem, okay, we'll have to Hashem, we'll have to Hashem, we'll have to matzah. I realize it's some tragic monogam that I'm not even mentioning. Do you put the matzah on your shoulders at the beginning, or...? So the kids will laugh. Kids will laugh. Keep the kids interested.
You broke my
I just pity the people who come to your Seder and don't know about this custom. And literally don't know what did it. Boom!
So if you make an omelet in my head, there were five people.
You mean you made mistakes?
Certainly
have to eat the tapas. Okay, multi matzah. Meaning of matzah is manazeb. The only thing that we eat is manazeb is we go right. So the dal kosher. So certainly the rabbanu, we don't have a carbon pesach with manazeb. And morar is only go right. So when you had a carbon pesach. So eating the matzah is a mitzvah in the Doraisa. Women are also chayiv in the Doraisa in eating the matzah. Strangely enough, because it's very difficult to figure out exactly why, but the poskim, we shot him talk about the fact that one should preferably eat two kizeitin at motzi matzah. Not one kizeitin, but two kizeitin. Why they should eat two kizeitin is not so clear. Some folks can say because you should have one kizayis for hamotzi, one kizayis for the alachidos matzah. That's a little strange because the hamotzi, which is the birchas hananim, is said on the mashu. You don't need to eat a kizayis to say we should have a birchas hamotzi. So alachidos matzah kizayis. I can see a kizayis plus, so why a kizayis and two kizayis? Others say because it's a question which matzah you should be eating the kizayis from. Whether you should be eating the matzah from the top kizayis, or from the top matzah, from the middle matzah. So therefore you should eat a kizayis from both the top and the middle. So that only makes sense if you actually have three matzahs in front of you. But if you're just getting generic matzahs from the box, so neither one's the top, neither one's the middle, why do you necessarily have to have two kizaitim? Okay, so we'll talk about that in a moment. In any event, the custom is, don't scan at least, to eat two kizaitim. We'll see that in a moment, it may not make any difference. Assume if you ate one kizaitim, you'll say, how big is the kizaitim? So, I'll tell you. What the Svarim is manazah saying more or less, the following. If you are dealing with a machine matzah, if you're dealing with machine, because then we'll have Shmur matzahs, right? You're dealing with machine. So, the more chomer opinion is about two-thirds of the machine, and the less chomer opinion is about one-third, maybe a little bit more than a third, maybe about four-tenths, approximately. Okay, so the more chomer opinion is two-thirds, the less chomer opinion is about one-third, maybe a little bit more, maybe about four-tenths, a little less than here. In a canned matzah, so they say it depends on how big they are and how thick they are. So Shimon Ida gives a general thing about the more chomer opinion being a half and the less chomer opinion being about a quarter. Sometimes if you have the thicker matzahs, it's even less than that. Now Moshe Feinstein says as follows. There's a question about how big is a kezayis. There's also a question whether on a multi-matzah you have to eat one kezayis or two kezayis. So you don't have to be machmir on top of machmir. And if you're deciding to eat one kezayis, then you should eat the larger shear. But if you're deciding to eat two kezayis, then you can eat the smaller shear. Which means that if you're eating one kezayis, so you should eat the larger shear, you should eat half of a hand shear. But if you're eating the smaller, if you're eating two kezaitim, so you can choose the smaller sheet, which means a quarter and a quarter and a half. Which means that either way you're more or less going to end up eating like that. It is not your responsibility to monitor everybody else at the table to make sure that they're eating enough. That's all. You can be strange in everybody else's eyes. You don't have to shut them out to down everybody else's throat. Right? Hopefully, whatever it is, Yeshua Malitzvah, even if they're eating a little bit less, they talk about different Gedolei Yisrael who were not so makpid about certain shiurim, about different things. They didn't sit there with colored charts and measuring this and that, etc. So, people used to eat, they have all sorts of stories, I won't even repeat them, about what seems to be very small sizes for kezayit. So, that's it. But you should try to eat at least a quarter of a hand and a third of a little bit more of a machine, preferably more than that if you can. How fast do you have to eat it? Don't stuff your face. To start, and Mishnah talks about something, I have Pashas, the history takes a very small item, and what he's talking about, because he put everything in your mouth all at once. Ein achila gasa, if you take a half of a hand matzah and put it all in your mouth at once, ein achila gasa like that. No, there's nothing like that. It's not our heritage, it's not this. Suggest eat, my advice to you is just eat normally, at a normal pace. If you eat normally, at a normal pace, you've eaten in the right amount of time.
Are you going to stop while you're eating?
Preferably not. Certainly not before you finish the kezayit, because you made a balakidas matzah. You should try not to talk. There's some more matzah not to talk to lift the korek, if they want to balakidas matzah to go through that. So if you can do that, that's fine. If you can't, at least till you finish mostly matzah. You should just make sure ahead of time, depending on the situation, you know. But let's say the bottle of ice, the other one has matzahs in front of it, and you're going to get a piece of matzah the size of, the size of a cracker. That's all you're going to get. So if you want to know ahead of time, if you want any more matzah, suggest arrange it ahead of time that the matzah box is available somewhere, whatever it is, and you'll say, you don't mind if I eat a lot of matzah. you know, say, oh, you want to be crazy, came back from seminary, yeah, I'm thinking, wait, I wasn't doing seminary, whatever it is. So I'm wondering, so fine, you just have it available, and you'll sit there, and everybody else is already, you know, having dessert. You're still, you're still eating there, you're kazayit, you know, whatever it is. Okay.
Do you have a hard time eating the matzah, or do you want to drink water?
Probably. I don't know. The thing about it some more. I don't think there's a problem. Is it speed? Probably okay. That a kavod is the top of the herestok l'mase. And we were trying to miss this after the rice of eating matzo. That's the main question. You, of course, said earlier, now, God, the matzo, the shot of Alchem, Al Shema, so I took the second of Shaytzah. Now, if we had in mind that, that would be good enough. So we were trying to miss the rice. Of course, remember the Hamoni and all sorts of other things. Yes.
And the measurements that you gave us
was
that one
kazayim. So I told you that the measurements I gave you was one kazayim. But, in Moshe held, if you're eating two kazaytim, you can eat the smaller measurements. So two small measurements is equal to one large measurement, so more or less it comes out to the same. By the way, you also, just like I told you, you're not there to monitor everybody else is eating too little, you don't have to monitor, you know, your brother, to get back to Shiva, and he holds the Shiva kazaytim, the size of this table. So he's sitting in there, not to tell me, you know, well, you're crazy, I heard from my rabbi, I said, you know, from your rabbi knows nothing. So I said, well, you know, you went to seminary, you don't know, yeshivish, you don't know, halachic, whatever, because you don't have to get into any of these discussions. It's what everybody does, you know, shalom on yourself. Right? If somebody really is curious and wants to know, so then you can talk to them about it, you can discuss it, but you know, that's the matter, everybody. You know. Right, but by the time you don't have a vase right away, you're gonna eat Korech, and you're gonna eat Afikoman. A vase doesn't have to be in the Kazai, Kazayit has to be in the Kazai, not a Kazai.
Okay.
Say that now, the general custom, if you happen to be one who's holding the three masses in your hand, so the general custom is, let's assume this is a little matzah, is you hold, in order to have like a Mishnah, this is the most common custom, you say Hamotzi on everything, then you drop the bottom one, Al-Achilas Matzah, and then you break off from here, from there, and then you so if you have three matzahs in front of you, then you should eat both from the top and from the middle. But if you're just getting it passed around, then you get whatever's passed around.
So from the
Wait, she gets something in the balabai, because the Lacha Mishnah was on his. Right. Preferably she get a little bit of the middle matzah. She preferably gets a little bit, she comes to the balabai. In some families, because it's so large, that people, sometimes there's individuals who have their own three matzahs. Like sometimes it gives every single person has their own three matzahs. Somebody has that. There's another thing, if you're going, for instance, I don't know, those of you go to the neighbor's house or whatever it is, I don't know if you discussed with you about bringing your mask or not. I don't know, anybody go to the neighbor's house?
I'm going to.
Okay, just check with him, and it's not in, but you know, sometimes when people are having a lot of guests that aren't family, sometimes they say, listen, if you don't mind, bring your mask. Sometimes people say, don't worry, I have matzahs, I have wine, I have this, I have that. So it's not a bad idea just to check to ask if you need to bring anything. Yeah. So the for Moki Matzah you have some of the top and some of the middle. Okay. Now, Mara. Mara is not as asking the Rabbanon, nevertheless, it's a mitzvah. Asking the Kazayis of Marar, how much is the Kazayis of Marar? So there are, the Gemara, the Mishnah actually says there are five different types of vegetables which can be used as Marar. There are only three that are commonly used, and one of them is not so common. And that is romaine lettuce, horseradish, and endive. I've never you then does. Anybody hear you then does? I don't know. But it's in the Rabbanus Kazai's book. He tells you how much Endaz you have to eat. But, okay, the most common, that's the least common of the three that are used, is the romaine lettuce or horseradish, grated horseradish. There are advantages and disadvantages to each one of them. With the romaine lettuce, the thing that you have to keep in mind, especially very important to the bug issue, is obviously if you have good petit lettuce, that's fine. I don't know whether because of the lack of Gush Katif and Shemitah, whether there's going to be at all a shortage this year or not. Hopefully there won't be. I'm sure that they're trying to prepare as much as possible for what it is. And I know that in America, at least in previous years, you can always get Gush Katif stuff now in the Jewish supermarket.
Here.
What? I thought that they export it to, they don't export it to America.
They have.
So, or both eggs, but you have to make sure the bug issue is not, and you have to check it beforehand, and you have to know how to check for the for bugs. It's a big problem. Very often they suggest that you, if it's not a good katif, especially Roma, that you remove the outer leaves and just discard them. The outer leaves are the ones that are usually most infested and hardest to check, and just use the inner parts. Okay, in any event, approximately one large leaf of romaine lettuce is a kazai. Approximately one large leaf. If you're dealing with stalks, just the stalk without the leaf part, anywhere from 2 to 4 stalks is a kazayit, depending on the size of the stalk. If you want to take a look in Rabban's book, he has a whole Pesach section where there's pictures there drawn to picture the scale. Exactly what you need. If you're using grated horseradish, then it's approximately 1 ounce. You have to be very, very careful with grated horseradish in two ways. If you grated the horseradish 5 days in advance and left it out in the open, it lost all of its daab and you may have a problem. If, however, you grated the horseradish, it's very hard to do with the Shabbos, but if you grated the horseradish close to the time of eating it and kept it very sealed, when you didn't grate it very finely, it can either, they say it talks about a sakana. I do sometimes see people that mamish turn red in the face. Right. Mamish turn red in the face. And you have to realize, maror is meant to be bitter. It's not necessarily meant to be so sharp. So you can be able to grated horseradish, certainly, but you have to be careful about approximately 1 ounce. 1 ounce of grated horseradish. You can combine the two. Some of one, some of the other. What? Well, if I have a half a kazayis of romaine lettuce and a half a kazayis of grated horseradish, so I eat a kazayis tomorrow. Right, that works. 2, 3. Yes, the custom, of course, is that one is told by the maror in the charoset set. Why that is done is either to, it's not quite clear, some talk about that the sharpness of the maror should be taken away a little bit by the charoset. Some say it's just the remembrance of zecher latif, the clay that was used, the mortar that was used. There are some who have a custom to be tovel the whole thing in charoset. Some have a custom to be tovel some of it in charoset. The vast majority of folks can say that you have to shake off the vast majority of the charoset. People love to pile on the charoset on the romaine lettuce. And the problem is that you won't taste the romaine lettuce. And then so the majority of the charoset should really be shaken off. You make a bracha of alachilas morer. By the way, the motzi matzah has to be eaten by a sefer. Again, women, not necessarily, but that should be eaten by a sefer. The morer is eaten shaloba has sefer. Motzi matzah has to be eaten by a sefer. Again, women, a special issue. But the morer can be eaten, should be eaten without a sefer. Okay, questions? It's a little shot, like a plastic little top or something, is approximately 1 ounce.
Oh my God, all that much?
So there's a picture in Rabbana's book of a cup of grated horseradish. Grated horseradish, there's a lot that needs to be eaten. I don't know, Bizman, that so many people who eat just horseradish. I think people sometimes eat horseradish together with romaine lettuce.
You have
I said, okay. can I hear from England or say to the other? Okay. Correct. Since the Pasuk says the Matzah from Rabbi Yochlu, Hillel would be correct, the Matzah and the Marah together, there's a question whether he also used to put the Korban Pesach in it. And the question is whether the Nusach Haggadah. This Matzah is a Midrash Kayim, Korek, some say Matzah Umarah of Ochlam Biyachad, and some say Pesach Matzah Umarah of Ochlam Biyachad. That's different Shittos and Rishon, whether the Pesach was involved in it or not. There's a question whether the Korach needs to be dipped into the Harosis or not. Some say yes, just like in the previous time. Some say no, because if it's even with Matzah, you don't need to have the Korach. You don't need to have the Tzvila and Haroset. You should have a Kezayis of Matzah, but you can make the smaller shear, and a Kezayis of Maror when you're eating Korach. Kezayis of Matzah and a Kezayis of Maror when you're eating Korach. Right. So this is now a new Kezayis of Matzah and a new Kezayis of Maror when you're eating Korach. Those who are very, very mastered about not talking might actually say, Zechron Mikdash Kehillel, after they eat the Korach. But in most places, people generally say it beforehand. Zechron Mikdash Kehillel, they say it beforehand. That's Korach. Shulchan Aruch, a few important things. One, there is a custom to eat an egg. Many people probably have such a custom to eat an egg, usually at the beginning of a meal. May have such a custom. You should make use of the beitzah that's on the kara. In other words, the beitzah that's on the kara shouldn't be thrown out in the garbage even after the Pesach is over. So, what? Doesn't matter, it's an egg. You roast the meat is the problem, not roast the egg. So you can eat that. Again, if you have two starts, you may want to save that specific for the second night, but afterwards, you should make use of it. Some have a custom to put the egg in salt water. There's an issue about the hard-boiled egg. Different Mepharshim point out that just like an egg, the more you boil it, the harder it became. So too, when the mitzvah, the more that they tortured us, the tougher we became. And they didn't break us. Our custom is that one does not eat roast meat on the night of the Seder. Because we don't want Chas V'Shalom, anybody to begin to think that maybe we're eating something that's a Korban Pesach. It's not there, so there's no roast meat to feed in at the Seder. There's no roast beef nor roasted poultry. If it was cooked in an oven, in a pot or pan without any liquid, not roasted over an open fire, is a machloket achronim whether one can eat it or not. Some say no, some say yes. If it was cooked in a pan with liquid and sauce, etc., so it was sitting in liquid, so then that's fine. Some people have a custom, they're so machloket, they don't have only boiled chicken. Anybody have only boiled chicken on? Doesn't taste so good. Right. From the soup. Okay. So some have that, but really, if it was, most times when you cook chicken in the oven, usually you have a substantial amount of liquid there that is sitting in sauce. I'm not a big chicken maker, but isn't that the way they bake? They make chicken?
Turkey, yes.
Turkey also. But it depends if it should be sitting in when it was cooked. It's always juice. Even if it wasn't juice, if it wasn't roasted, the biggest problem with barbecue, if you use a barbecue chicken, then that you can. Barbecue chicken you can. Meal barbecue, like on a grill. That you don't have. During the day you can. It's only at night that you don't have. The Afikomen, we eat at the end of the meal. Because there's a machloket, whether the Afikomen comes to represent the Korban Pesach that was eaten at the end of the meal, or comes to represent the matzah that was eaten together with the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, or actually comes to represent both things, both the Korban Pesach and the matzah that was eaten with it, we go back to having again two kezeitin. L'chadchila, it's best to have two gezeitim before the atikomim. One zecha la pesach and one zecha la matzah that was eaten with the pesach. But again, if you're eating two gezeitim, you can be making them on the shear, on the sides of each one of the gezeitim. Yeah, you're having two kezeitim, the size of your large kezeitim. Get one zecha la pesach, the carbon pesach, the redeeming to the end of the meal, and one zecha to the matzah, the redeeming together with the carbon pesach at the end of the meal. Yes, that's right. You know, it doesn't have to be from the piece that was hidden away, you can take out of the box. And in fact, kids never like hearing this, but if you know they refuse to return, you have to come to the father and say, oh, whatever, they decide to take one out of the box, not a problem. The atikomen should preferably be eaten before chatzos. If you're eating after chatzos, your yosei, they talk about Tzvi Gadol Yisrael who were not so much to eat it after chatzos, to eat it before chatzos. Okay, and the atikomen should be the last food that you're eating. Okay. After we eat after coming, that's it for food for tonight. So finish all your desserts and everything else that you want to have, and preferably even drinking and other things. So after coming is the last thing, and then only the last two courses. Yeah.
Do you have to eat
No, any the multi matzah korek and after coming. All have to be from matzah lechatzis, it should be from matzah shmura. Whether it's hand or machine shmura, it's a different question, but it should be shmura matzah, not regular non-shmura matzah.
And you can't drink
after? Water you can drink afterwards. You certainly can't drink any intoxicating beverage aside from the last two cups of wine. Regarding tea and the other things, the different posts can say different things. They claim that after the seder was all over, the Biskarov used to drink tea to stay up much of the night. So the Biskarov used to drink tea, but you should preferably wait to drink that till after the last cup, unless it is, and the seder is over. Barek, Birkat HaMazon, you have to have a kosher Birkat HaMazon even if you don't have it all year long. So there's different opinions whether you have to hold it or not. It's better to hold it, but if you don't hold it, it's not to be upset.
When
you bench it, you should hold it because you're making a drop on the cup.
Right,
it's house number 3 out of 4.
And you drink right after.
And right after Birkat HaMazon, you drink it, take off your glasses.
So when you drink after Birkat HaMazon, you fill it up?
You fill it, everybody gets their own calls. You fill it up, and preferably to hold it. So, you can, that's preferable. No, it's just if you don't mind, I'm trying to finish. And just you should be aware of, Ashkenazim have a custom to say Birkat HaMazon on each of the Dalit posts. Svardim generally say it only on post number 1 and 3. Persian is also 1 of 3. Yeah, only in 1 of 3. It's Machlokas Rishon. Each one has its own meaning. For Halal, we generally pour the 4th cup. For Hamasa, we pour the Kosh Shel Aliyah. Some pour the Kosh Shel Aliyah before Birkas HaMazon. Some do it right after Birkas HaMazon. There's a minute coming up the door. Part of the real minute was not to let Aliyah and Navi in. The original minute was to show that it's Leil Shimurim. And we're not so afraid. Of course, if you live in a bad neighborhood, it's a bit of a problem. But there are also the custom. People open up the door. People have a custom to say Baruch Haba. I just saw somewhere, don't ask me, the Navi Yehuda used to escort Eliyahu out of the house after the Kosher of Eliyahu. I assume the Navi Yehuda realized who he was escorting. Most of us don't get a chance to see. Although your father may like shake the table a little bit and say, you see, he's drinking. You mean use the wine afterwards? Actually, why not? Although, I don't know, I think the customers, for some reason I have the customers to leave the kosher aliyah to lift the seder. I don't know if that's just because, if there's a real need to do that, or that it's not a good other way. What? I don't know. If you want to ask me, I'll check it out. What else is there? People Hallel, some people hold the coast there in the saying of Hallel. There are various minhagim. Try to get two agadas to agree how you end off the Hallel. Because you say Nishmas, and you say Alelucha, and you say Ishtabach, and some stuff here, and then go to here, and then go back. So you may find that there are different minhagim. Mishonim and Achronim mentioned different kinds of customs, how exactly end off the Hallel. So you should just be aware not necessarily two agadas to agree on everything. And we recite the Baruch HaGafen. The fourth cup, it's very important to drink a reviz. Because if you don't drink a reviz, it's a question whether you have to say Baruch HaChron or not. So Mechapkin, you should make sure to drink a reviz, at least 3 ounces, for the fourth cup, in order to be able to recite a Baruch HaChron. Finally, Nirta, we end off, make the key, Chatzal Sidu Pesach, and we say L'Shem HaBad Yerushalayim. Twice during the year we say Lashon HaBad Yerushalayim. We say it at the end of the Seder, we say it before Yom Kippur. One said in the name of Soloveitchik, Zutal, that why do we do that? He says, because we say at the end of the Seder, Chasal Sidu Pesach Kehuchaso, Chom Uspata Vuchukaso, Kasha Zachim Vesaderoso, Kemus Kelasos. This night we were only able to do Zechar to a lot of things. We had Zechar L'Korban Pesach, and Zechar L'Korban Chagiga, and Zechar L'Mikdash Kehillel, and Zechar, 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 Zechar. A lot of the things are only Zechar tonight. We hope that we should be Zochar to actually do it. And therefore, when we say L'Shan Abav Yushalayim, what we're saying is, by next Pesach, we should not only do the Zechar, the things for the Mikdash, but we should be able to actually do the real things in the Mikdash. Similarly, on Yom Kippur, especially in Musaf, when we go through the entire Avod of the Kohen Gadol, and how he was going to daven, and he's lufanek and lufnim, and he's achat, 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 v'chol av, v'chol akonim, v'am, shalu, omdim ba'zara, they would be korim, v'shtachdim, v'nofnim, apneim, so do all these zeich and amigdash. So when Yom Kippur ends, he said, Roshon Abba, by next Yom Kippur, we should be in Yerushalayim. So it doesn't make sense to say at the end of the Seder, the Shana Hazofi Yerushalayim. Right? We want to be in Yerushalayim this year. What we're talking about is really by next Pesach, we should be in Yerushalayim. However, since we're still only before Pesach, and we still have over 2 weeks, 2 weeks in a day, right, two days really, until Pesach. So now, the truth is we could really wish that Bezat Hashem, the Shana Hazofi, still this year, we still have time. Plenty of time for Mashiach to come, the Beit HaMikdash can be built, Shuas Hashem Karevayim, B'nisa Nigalu, B'nisa Natsidu Nigal, we should be zochah to have the Gula Shleim and Meir V'yameinu.